Gospel of Luke, and this is the 19th chapter in Luke's Gospel, beginning with the first verse there. And it reads as follows. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So Zacchaeus ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see Jesus because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So Zacchaeus hurried down and was happy to welcome Jesus. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give them to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." And then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I was asked this as I got started by some of the guests here, friends of mine, if I've settled in, and it takes a while to settle in. I have to learn a lot of new faces, and you only have to learn my and my family's faces. I have to learn a lot of names. You have to learn a few names. But there has been a settling in, learning the paces and the culture here of Christ. And in some ways, Sally has tried to make sure that I've been baptized by fire with the fun. It's my job. I know. With the fun that is part of the culture of Christ Church. So as I moved my final boxes here a couple weeks ago, she put a cape around me. With a box in my arms, I think she knew I could not refuse the cape being put around me, and said, "This is your role in Vacation Bible School." And I had said I was willing to play a part, but I wasn't quite ready for the cape to be placed around me. If you're interested in seeing that, you can come out to Vacation Bible School this week as I play a superhero with the cape. And I said, "I'm not afraid to do these things. My daughter's dressed me up as a princess. It's fine. I'm willing to play whatever role I am handed." And it was only as I began this week that Sally decided to press that home a little more and said, "You know, we here in this church, every time there is a holiday, we dress up in silly ways and we take silly pictures and we put them on our Facebook page. I hope you're into that kind of thing." And so again, I had to say, "You know, I've dressed up like a princess. Now I've had a cape put on me. I can do this too. I can do this too." And so I put on a 4th of July headband and a red, white, and blue lay around my neck, and we proceeded to take pictures, and I tried to be as silly as I could, and Sally looked more serious in the pictures than me, and I feel like I got duped a little bit. Wanted to see how far I would take it, but I appreciate the welcome that you've offered me, that you've offered my family. We really feel very blessed and are excited as we become immersed here at Christ Church, and your family becomes our family, and our family becomes your family. And so thank you for those open arms and the open reception, and what will follow this service today and follow our second service as well, a time to get to know me, to get to know us better as we begin our time with you. As I said last week, these first couple of sermons are kind of get-to-know-you sermons. Last week really was highlighting my call into ministry and the inception of that call and how it developed over time. Today we'll have a little bit of some of the places that I have lived and things I've done in my childhood connected in with the scripture reading. Following on this week, I'm going to be doing a series through the balance of the summer called Lessons by the Lake. And it's really going to look at those times that Jesus was either beside the water or on the water, because this is a season in which many of us seek the perspectives of places like Chautauqua, places beside a lake, to give us lessons and encouragement and hope. And I thought this might be a nice way to sort of experience the glory of summer with the lessons that Christ imparts beside the lake. So we're going to start that next week. Let's take a moment and pray. Lord God, may the meditations of my heart and mind and the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. May we hear your word afresh. May it inspire us anew. In Christ's name, amen. Are you afraid of heights? I heard a lot of no's. If you said no, has there ever been a place where you found yourself with some fear in your hearts? And I see my friend Matt there. I remember when he sat in the Oranges, I think it was, in the Old Odd. And he said, I looked down from the Oranges, and that was enough. So before you say no, think carefully. Has anybody been to Lake Placid? Has anybody ever been in one of the ski jumps, way up into one of the ski jumps? That's a terrifying thing. And to think of somebody strapping planks of wood onto their feet and jumping off of it is even more terrifying. But most of us, we've learned how to cope, even if we have a fear of heights. We learn how to cope. There are certain things that we just have to do. We have to get on a ladder every once in a while to do things that must be done. We have to go upstairs or ascend places because that's what's there. This was the question my uncle asked me one time when I was in Iowa for harvest. I referred to Iowa a little bit last week also in my sermon. He said, are you afraid of heights? And when somebody asks you that question, you know that there's some request coming about where you're going to go. Now, Iowa is very flat. Has anybody at least driven through Iowa? Most people have been on Interstate 80 heading west, and all they see is corn and an occasional barn and a weird smell occasionally, and that's Iowa for them. Iowa is pretty flat, though. Kansas is the flattest state in our country by height. Iowa is pretty flat. But are you afraid of heights, my uncle asked. And so where do you think that I was sent? Up onto the top of what he called the wet bin. Now, the wet bin was where corn came in during harvest. It's put in a wet bin and then dried to a certain percentage of moisture, where then it is put in the dry bin and stored for the winter. So the wet bin is actually taller than the dry bins because it has a cone on the bottom so it can be gotten out more easily, just in case the height of the dry bin wasn't high enough. There was a chance of rain. And he said, we have to put the lid on the top of the bin. I don't want more water getting in there. And so somebody's got to close that. And you're young and I'm not. Are you afraid of heights? And I said, no. And in general, I'm not. But there is something about climbing a straight vertical ladder that is frightening. And I muttered my oh gods as I went up. Oh God, be with me, oh God. And when you get to the cone, it's okay because you get off the vertical ladder and go across the cone. And when I sat down and looked around, what's amazing about a place like Iowa is you can see 50 miles in every single direction. And I sat there for some time. And then I had to contemplate getting down. See, I've never found ascending to be the problem. It's descending where we can't see where we're going. So I answered the question honestly. I'm not afraid of heights. I wasn't afraid of heights then, not afraid of heights now. At least I'm not afraid of ascending to the heights. And I think it goes back to my brothers. Most blame in my life does. I have two older brothers. Before I could walk, they were avid tree climbers, and they decided to place me in a tree out front of our house. I'm not sure if they were trying to dispose of me or not, but they took me up into this tree. Maybe they were just trying to give me a good view of what life had to offer. I'm not sure. And they left me there. And they went off to play with their friends. And my mother later found me in the tree. I'm sure my brothers received much punishment for leaving me there. But in some ways, that took away any fear I had, because at a young age, you're forming your experiences, and I saw that there was nothing to be afraid of. My brothers, in whom I put all of my trust, put me there. It must be a safe place to be. And so I was then found constantly climbing anything I could in our house from that day forward. It took away that fear. And I found myself ever since then, I liked the perspective that height gives. It was, even as a kid, when placed on my father's shoulder, and I think it was because I was the smallest and littlest, and so my pace was slower than everybody else's. He'd put me on his shoulders, and we'd go walking along as a family. But I loved that I could see over everybody else. Where at a parade, I could see over the heads and see everything was there. And I found through my life that places of height continued to capture my imagination. We would seek out such venues for skiing. We'd drive from Texas when we lived in the panhandle of Texas. Again, if you want flat, that actually is the flattest place on earth, I believe. And we would go to New Mexico or Colorado. And if you've ever traveled through that way, you're on Interstate 40. It's flat, flat, flat. And then all of a sudden, a hill comes, another hill. And then the mountains just rise out of the plains. Towering giants that seem to touch the sky. I'd go there and I'd feel inspired. My favorite view is riding the chairlift and looking over my shoulder and being able to see from the top of the chairlift and down into the mountain and down the valleys. We moved here to New York State when I was in seventh grade, and I spent the formative time in high school exploring the wonders of the mountains of this state, the Adirondacks, scurrying up old fire towers and across peaks. During college, there was a summer where I painted houses, hurrying up and down wobbly ladders, and I began each project by ascending to the roof and looking around for perspective. As Leanne and I began our married life together in the form of our honeymoon, it was in New Hampshire's White Mountains that a venue was provided with a view as our lives began to unfold it as a married couple together. Nightly, we dined and we looked out across the tops of the Presidential Range, absorbing the beauty of the surrounding and the joy of being together and the view of life and what would unfold, our dreams, the perspective. There's something about spiritual revelations and insights, that perspective, that views, that getting up high enough that one can look down upon the valleys and the ground offers. One of the joys when I was touring this building is I went to the upper box. That's what we call it. Skybox. I'm learning the name. And I like the way a sanctuary, I don't know if Jim feels this way too, that churches that have balconies, there's something about that perspective. To see the whole sanctuary laid out, the view it gives. You know, high places play a prominent role in the biblical witness where divine and human intersect and connect. Mount Sinai, right? God speaks to Moses, gives a vision of what God's people would be like in the form of the Ten Commandments. God made a covenant that presented from that high position a promised land ahead as that covenant would be sustained by the people. And Moses was granted this view from that vantage point and took the view and went back down and shared it with the people, said, "This is what I've seen. This is what God's want. This is what lays ahead." Jesus, multiple times he's in high places. One that's very prominent for us is that time when he was transfigured on the mountaintop before the disciples. In this moment, which we recall annually on the Sunday before Ash Wednesday, the revelation of Jesus as the Messiah becomes visually apparent. From here, the disciples beheld Jesus' glory, Jesus' divinity. A view is given. Similarly, in these same biblical moments from the mountaintop, God speaks. A view is given not only visually, but a view is extended verbally. Upon the mountaintop, God steps into time and space. Today's gospel story is the same kind of story. One seeking to gain perspective, hoping to see as God passes by. We heard of Zacchaeus, chief tax collector, sinner because of that that role that he plays, apparently due to his short stature, unable to get a glimpse of this Jesus person in the crowd as he was moving through the city of Jericho. And Zacchaeus was curious, perhaps even intent to believe these stories that he had heard about Jesus, so you can imagine his disappointment when he can't see, when he's jumping in the back of the crowd and can't get a glimpse, unable to have his curiosity and his belief verified. So he runs on ahead and ingenuity takes over, perhaps a residual memory of the activities of childhood, of climbing trees, and how it could allow you to see, give you perspective. It doesn't say that he had brothers that left him up in a tree, but I wonder. He went, I remember my brothers. And he decides, and again, it doesn't really say this, but he decides to risk the ridicule of undertaking what would be called a childish activity. Adults don't climb trees, do we? He climbs a tree. He, for the sake of merely getting a look, a glance, puts forth a great effort and climbs up into this tree along the way. He knew then he might get a good look. And when Jesus does pass that way, he does get a look, a great look. Jesus looks up at Zacchaeus and Zacchaeus looks down, and Jesus admires what Zacchaeus was willing to do on account of him and asks him to climb down so he can join Zacchaeus at his home. We don't hear how difficult it was for Zacchaeus to climb down, but I wonder the fear that may have paralyzed him in the change that was going to come. The potential to fall. What that could mean. Staring face to face with Jesus later in his home, perhaps recognizing that his life indeed had been saved as he came down, he states what he is willing to do for his faith. And Jesus says that this has come to him. It's come through an imaginative effort. Because he climbed a tree. He gained a perspective which gave him salvation. Through merely trying to get a glimpse at the glory of God, the glory comes and is given. And through that glimpse, other branches, future climbs ahead, are brought into quick relief and perspective. In the rediscovery of imagination, Zacchaeus acquires faith. You know, others over time have been led away to high places by God, have been spoken to, and have been shown what a land living the command of love to one another would look like. The view has been so beautiful and stirring that all of us have been able to visualize such a place through these prophets' eyes and with them hope and pray for its reality. We're coming up on an anniversary of Martin Luther and the posting of the 95 Theses, and these great Protestant reformer has said, both through his tower experience and following his climbing of the 28 white marble Scala Sancta, or holy stairs, which are the supposed stairs of Pontius Pilate's house that Jesus would have had to ascend at his trial and stand just outside of Rome, he's said to have gained a vantage point seeing a future where people would be in charge of their own souls, their own destiny, their own responsibility to the grace that God had freely given. Luther gained a view of God passing by, and God invited him down to share it with others, the view of a time when people would come to know their faith intimately, reading the Bible in their own language, and all becoming priests in their own right as they followed out a sense of calling as disciples in all the tasks of life. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, similarly sought people to have a personal faith. He climbed steps of apostolic faith, climbed the mountain of German pietism, climbed the peak of personal salvation before that fateful night on Aldersgate Street, climbing the tree of grace, seeing, experiencing the view of God passing by and feeling his heart strangely warm as he was called down. He saw that God's grace was there for all, for any, waiting to surge to the surface, waiting to be seen walking by, and that once seen began a journey of personal faith leading from the view that was once be held to what could be back on the ground in the home of people's lives. Martin Luther King Jr. more explicitly talks about his view from the mountaintop in one of his most famous speeches, "I Have a Dream." You know the speech, and in that speech he says, "I've been to the mountaintop." And he describes the landscape he sees, the promised land of equality and unity, the eradication of injustice through the prevailing of justice. Martin Luther King Jr. led the people to see what he had seen as God passed by and came into the home of his heart. The church weekly is similarly to be such a place. It is here that we gather in the hopes that we might gain a perspective, to see a view, to be granted a vision as God comes briefly into our midst and then invites us down from that inspired place of hope to take it out into our week ahead. It is here that we climb and pray that God will step into time and space and change things, will give us a view, and from that view, experience the welcome of coming into the home of our hearts. See, the Zacchaeus story is our story. Swept up, overcome, pushed back through the week as the Lord passes by, we come here and seek, we come to climb to see this day that we might have our hope restored. But we have to be willing to rediscover imagination, to rediscover climbing. And maybe we look at the tree and we say, "I've forgotten." Or maybe we say, "Well, I'm just too mature. That's a childish activity." Or maybe it's just too distant that we can't remember how to do it, even if we have done it at all. And then we remember all the branches we have climbed in our faith lives already, one after another, giving us a new view and a fresh look. Things like our early years in Sunday school and the teachers that we had who taught us the stories of the Bible. Vacation Bible school, we're about to do that this week. Think how important and valuable that will be to some of our young people this year. Or branches perhaps when we were called into service as young people, as an acolyte, or as we sang as in the children's choir, or branches of confirmation or youth group, or branches of Holy Communion. And the first time it was something more than just bread and cup, and it really meant something. Or the first time we sung a hymn and it touched a nerve. It inspired us. The tree of faith has so many branches that we climb upon, and yet somehow as we grow older, we can't recall the different views that we saw along the way. We grow too afraid of falling, so we're unwilling to take the risk and grab the next branch. We're too busy, unwilling to take the time, or we are just not even willing to put forth the effort because of how difficult it will be. And so we stay on the safety of the ground. And God passes by and we never even get a view. Well, I like views. I want a view. And I'm ready to climb. I'm ready to rediscover imagination. And I'm hoping that you are ready to do that too. And here is the good news. The tree of faith is not a difficult tree to climb. It's a perfect climbing tree. The one that we could see with a child's eyes and instantly be called to explore its reaches. It's got a view that just keeps getting better and better with each branch that we grab. So many perfect ones to hold that will hold our weight. Branches of Scripture and prayers and worship and song and sacrament. Branches of history and just how wide the Christian family is of our particular denominational heritage and present reality and focus and of the history and people of this particular house of prayer. There are branches of Bible study, of fellowship, of spiritual disciplines. There are branches of outreach and the ways that we enact our faith. There are branches of all those who have made this climb before us and have taught us and shown us what it is to rediscover how to climb. All of these are there to grasp onto and to support us and to encourage us. Each one ideal for that moment, for that step, that we might see the Lord as the Lord goes by. And each one gives us an even better view where the glory of the Lord is revealed to us even more clearly. When we see God, we hear our name spoken, God seeking to dwell in the home of our hearts. So as we celebrate this Lord's Day, let us take into account those in the church's past who were willing to once again rediscover their imagination and start climbing. And let us in the same spirit seek to reform ourselves, to rediscover our ability to climb trees and to reach and strive and struggle and go even higher in our faith. Let us climb up in our commitment, in our learning, in our service. Let us together reform, relearn, rediscover how to climb that together, together that we might see the glory of God, that together we might see the view and vision, that together we will all come to know salvation, that together we might accept that salvation as our very own, and that together we might share with others the joy, the wonder, the mystery, the view, the solace of a life climbing the tree of faith. A life of focus upward and outward. So I pray as we begin this journey together, you will join me in gaining this view, this perspective of making connections and offering opportunities for faith, love, and service. Grow with me that we may together hope and wait and inherit. Climb together to that envision that we see with heart and mind, the reality of what our eyes see. That the work of our hands may follow that out and that God may come and dwell in our homes. May God grant us the vision. May Jesus Christ give us the tools. May the Holy Spirit be our guide. That we may see from the top. That we may hear our name, that we may commit to the work with mercy, grace, peace, and justice, and that we might be guided to the need. And in the end, may God call our efforts good, bringing salvation to our homes and the glory that is eternal life. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we need your inspiration to push us to the heights you call us to climb in lives committed to you. Help us not to fear or shy away from such a climb, but give us a sense of the glory that it can yield. It is difficult, we admit, for us to allow ourselves to recall and remember the skills and faith of childhood. We ask that you would help us to recall that once again we could use those skills and that imagination in our climbing. We know it won't be easy, but we are comforted that this climb has many things, many places, many people, many branches to help us up along the way. So inspire us, we pray, to go, to climb all the way you would have us, that we may see you and your glory at the top of such a journey. Because we need that perspective. We want to see you and hear our name spoken, to declare and proclaim our faith and have you dwell in the homes of our hearts and lives. Let us not shy away from the challenge of gaining the view and having you reward our efforts as we seek to make connections and offer opportunities as you come and dwell among us. So guide us, we pray. Guide us that we may discover who we are and whose we are. This all we pray in your name. Amen.